taught in business world. Jen, I'm sure you had to teach this with the HR people. In all the companies you've worked with, you've had to train them there with this kind of principle. But the church world is so far behind because the philosophy has always been, well, we don't want to have the world invade the church. Well, the problem is the world is stealing the church's principles. And then the church is abandoning them. And it's idiocy is the true word. Yes. Yes. Right. Right. Yep. It is a challenge because, again, it is a philosophy that is not taught. But it is exactly how Jesus lived. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all kingdom stuff they stole. Very good. Welcome to Empowering Pastors Leadership Training. We're so glad that you're with us today. We're going to start a new topic. This is going to probably span for at least 3 to 4 weeks. But I believe it's a topic that if the church world does not ascertain, embrace, and start developing, then literally what we have done is we have taken the gospel that is vast, worldwide, and a monstrosity, and we have minimized it into being nothing more than the size of a pea. And the way that the church deals with this topic as leaders, and this is what I'm talking to leaders today, and this is also in the secular world, but actually, sadly enough, is taught more secularly than it is spiritually. And we need to adopt this principle because it is not the adoption of the world's concepts being adhered to by the church, but the world has stolen the godly principles and are using them for success, and then the church abandons them, saying we don't want the world in the church. Well, the problem is that the world stole it from us. Stole it from the word. We've got to get back to taking back what's ours. Amen? So let's open a prayer. Father, we pray for wisdom, understanding, because Lord Jesus, it is so important that we understand how you run your kingdom, how you run business. Lord, we thank you that your word is clear to us, and we will unfold it, Lord Jesus, to learn how to create team of teams, that we will be truly men and women of God who are generational thinkers, and not people that are just sitting back and learning how to live and survive. In Jesus' name, amen. That is one of the big things that you find about this topic. This topic is one where you will find every single successful leader coming to this crossroad. The crossroad is building teams. The crossroad is developing people that can do things as well and should be even better than you. You know, a lot of times when I go away on the road, and whether Pastor Cody or one of the other pastors in the church stands up behind the pulpit and ministers, you guys always have a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And people have said to me periodically, doesn't that like intimidate you that they have sometimes even a stronger move of God when you're not there? And I would always say, are you kidding me? That's one of the greatest compliments that can be given. Why? Because when we do our jobs, us not being there does not leave a cavern. That's important. If you leave your job today, and again, this is what I teach very clearly. If you leave your job and somebody is not able to step in and take it to the next level, you have not done your job. Somebody said to me, well, I feel the Lord calling me to this other church. I feel the Lord calling me to this other ministry. I said, do you have a replacement? No, then God didn't call you. Well, you don't have a right to say that. Sure I do, because God never started something he wasn't planning on finishing. Amen. And that means we have to be people that think like God, that have the God concepts of how he runs his kingdom. And that is a team mentality. That there are no superstars. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who created the earth, he was at the beginning, John 1. got on his hands and knees, and washed his disciples' feet. If we have an mentality of it's me and I'm the best and I'm the only one that can make it happen, then Jesus would never have washed his disciples' feet. He would never have humbled himself. And therefore, when he died on the cross, and let's just say he rose from the dead and he ascended to heaven, Christianity would have stopped. Even though he's in heaven. Why would Christianity have stopped even if he went to heaven? Because he would have never passed the baton here on the earth. So your success and my success is not determined by how good we do our job. Your success and my success are determined whether or not generationally what was created is going to be perpetuated or will cease and desist when we stop our role. So until we learn team of teams, then it really does become about us. What? And listen now, this is a serious issue in ministry. When you start studying why most churches are small, it's not about the community. Why is it not about the community? I know a church many years ago was down in a small town in Pennsylvania, small coal town. Like 5 or 6,000 people in the town. And he ran a church of over 500. How is that possible in a small town? Because he learned how to build teams. And that church is still in existence, still powerful, still doing godly things, because the man of God, who was a true, genuine prophet, actually trained team of teams, and now the ministry is still running. So if the ministry closes or struggles when you leave, you are an epic failure. I just say it again, because you need to at least admit it. If when you step away from your position, there is nobody, or all of a sudden now there's trouble because nobody knows what to do, you are an epic failure. Well, Pastor, I didn't want to be called a failure this morning. You don't have to be. Because the principles that are very clear in the scripture, when genuinely applied, you don't ever have to be a failure. Failure is a chosen posture. Failure is something that we choose to be, not are demanded to be, but it is a willful choice. So when we start breaking down team of teams and why many churches are failing and many companies are failing, it is simply because they have chosen, because of a low self-esteem, to believe that they are the only ones who can do the job well. I don't know about you, but that really reigns on a high level of called arrogance. When you believe you're the only one that can do the job well, that is arrogance. True humility is saying, I do my job well, but now I know I've got to train somebody to do it better than I do, because if I can train them to do better than I can do, then I know my success goes beyond me. If what you do, I'm saying it again, I am repeating myself. I know I'm repeating myself. I'm not accidentally repeating myself. If when your job ends or when you leave your job, and it is struggling to move forward, you have failed. So to me, when somebody says, well, you know, isn't it intimidating that the church has great services when you're not there? Oh, no. That says, I've done my job. Jesus' job was not just that he came to save the people from their sins. If that was his only job, then he would have been crucified within his first few years. But his job was to be the head of the church. To be the head of the church means if you have a head without any body, what do you got? You can have all the brains you want, but you can't do nothing. So if we follow the example of Christ, then we know that really what he mainly did was he invested generationally to move the principles of the kingdom to go beyond just him who could do everything better than everybody else, to make sure that when he was vacant, because he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, that now, even though Peter makes messes, even though Paul people were afraid of, even though we can go through all the disciples' issues, even though they didn't do it as well as Jesus, they moved it forward. How about when the disciples came to Jesus and said, hey, listen, we found some guys, man, they're preaching the gospel, and people are getting saved. And Jesus said, you know, leave them alone. If they're not against us, they're for us. Low self-esteem is one of the most horrific things that a minister or a leader can have. When you have a low self-esteem, you are actually saying that I do not believe in myself, I am not comfortable with myself, and therefore I must protect myself. I've watched many pastors who have low self-esteem, and they make sure that when somebody with more gifts than they have come into the sanctuary, they drive them away. And this is something that we cannot have. Why can we not have this? Because if the kingdom is not going to start, stop, and listen, if you start, stop all the time, you never get momentum. You can't even plateau. So we've got to get back to truly understanding how God's kingdom works, and that is team of teams. And each person has to determine in their heart that, listen, my main job, let me say it again, my main job is to replace myself. It always gets quiet when I say that. My main job is to replace myself. If I cannot be replaced, usually it's saying you have a low self-esteem. If you refuse to be replaced, it means you have a low self-esteem. And if you fight to cast out all people that could replace you, you have a low self-esteem. You need your soul healed. Because we need to believe that how God established his kingdom was one that would work in every area of our life. Grace is about ready to have a baby. 7 days, you said? 7 days. 7 days means that, I lost his name already, Jensen is coming into the world. Jensen's last name is Bacher, which means the Bacher generations will continue. I was the last of the Spencers. There were no more Spencers. I'm the last boy. If I didn't create boys, the Spencer name from my genealogy would dry up and die. Even having children, if you're a good parent, your goal is to make your children greater than you. If your children are not going to be greater than you, if you have not given them the skill sets to be greater than you, then you've actually trained them to fail. This is generational thinking. Team of teams is a mandatory process of thought that has to be birthed in our minds, has to live in our minds, and every aspect of ministry and business that we do has to run out of that, or when you die, so does the baby. And I don't want to hand off something to somebody that's never had my heart. Jensen will have the blood, the heartbeat, of the Bacher family. Why? Because that child will be raised in that mentality. They do things different. They react different, fight different. But he will be a true production, not just because he came from the womb, but because he will live in the household or the culture of that house. He will become Josh. Whomever Josh is, he will become. What does that have to do with Team of Teams? Everything. Because what you're doing is reproducing yourself. What you're doing is duplicating yourself. What Christ did was duplicate who he was to the world. That's why it says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that what? Lives in me, that the life I now live, I live according to the faith. So what we're doing is when we are becoming more like Christ, I must decrease so he can. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the. All of this comes down to the same mentality of Team of Teams. You're creating sons and daughters. You're creating people that are actually going to accelerate beyond you. That is your goal. If you're going to be a generational leader with the concept of Team of Teams, you are driven not for what's in front of you, but for the generations to come. I was speaking to the pastors that we work with this morning, and I said to them, on Sunday morning, we had our Christmas program, and all the children came out, and they laughed, they danced, they did their thing. It was beautiful. But you see, if you remember, when I stood up there, I said, these are the next leaders of His Tabernacle Family Church. In 20 years, they will be the next level leaders. They will actually dictate what the church is going to be. If you and I want a Pentecostal church in 20 years, that means they'll be between 25 and 30 years old that were up on the stage on Sunday. If we want a Pentecostal church in 20 years, we've got to train them to be Pentecostal. If we don't train them to be Pentecostal, yet we want a Pentecostal church, we have fundamentally lied to ourselves, thinking that we can create something that we never invested in. So this Team of Team concept is more than just, hi, Team of Teams. I got a few people on my team. No. This is about training and developing the next generation to be what you want to be, what you would desire for success, and then beyond. And if that's not the mentality, then you're going to constantly struggle. And I'll tell you why you're going to struggle, because it's about you. Because if it's about God, perpetually, it goes beyond you. When vision ceases, when you die, it was never vision. It was just a dream. So my whole thought of, and always has been, is those children will be maybe taking your position. But if we don't get them baptized in the Holy Ghost, believing in signs and wonders in the children's ministry, then do I really think they're going to be Pentecostal? Do I really think that this church will be Pentecostal in 20 years? 20 years, I'll be 75 years old. My family lives old. That's a good thing. But probably by that, I know by that time, someone will do a painting, and a painting of my wife and I, and they'll put it out in the foyer, our founding father. I'll be here in and out. Pastor Cody will be the pastor. That's 20 years. Some of you won't be here. These kids will be. So what we want this church to be, we can't wait for them to be 18 to invest. If you want your department to grow, you have to build teams. And if you don't build teams, then when you leave, it dies too. We used to have a sign language ministry here, and it was really it was very powerful, and it was very exciting. It was fun. I loved watching them during all of the Sunday morning. They would be over here on the. They had like I think 4 people on the team, and I'm talking like it was. They would do a special, and you would just feel the Holy Ghost come on you, and they did a special. It was so powerful. And then the leader felt called to go to a different location, but didn't raise anybody up. And within 3 months of that person departing, so did the ministry. Well, what about those other 3 that were in the team? Well, they weren't leaders. Or had not been raised up to be leaders, had not been raised up to take it to the next level. So literally death comes from not thinking generationally. Like I said, if I didn't have boys, the Spencer name from our lineage portion would have died. I would have had to keep trying until I had at least one boy. We could have had 1,600 children, hallelujah, and a crop in the field. So for you and I as leaders, we have got to make sure that our mindset is shifted properly to understand what our genuine job is. It's a dualistic job. One, we have tasks that we have to accomplish. We have a job we were hired for. And we were hired to do it with excellence. Remember, what you do is what your generations will be. You might want to write that one down. If you think that they're going to be propelled beyond you, yet your standard is less than, that is never going to occur. They can only go beyond where you are. And if you're in digression, they cannot be in progression. Woo! These are good principles. So it's necessary for you and I to think right. So let me read Matthew chapter 10, starting with verse 1. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over the unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal every disease and every affliction. How many diseases and affliction? Every, amen. And the names of the 12 were, first, Simon, who was called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These are the guys he started with. But if you remember, he then sent 70 out. Where'd they come from? And then we know that we're 500 people at his, that saw him resurrected, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If Christ had not spent 3 years, think about it, as raw as Peter was, as perfect as Jesus is, Jesus saw in Peter the ability to move the vision forward. Do you think it was fun for the Son of God to have to deal with Peter's mouth all the time? Do you think it was fun to watch Jesus or have Christ have to deal with the sons of thunder who said, "We're going to go talk to my mom, and she's going to ask that we can sit on your right side"? Come on now. The disciples had issues. But Christ knew that if he died and rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father, If he didn't create a team, if he didn't create people to perpetuate the vision beyond where his life on earth started and ended, then what would have happened to you and I? You wouldn't be here. Who will not be here in heaven if you and I don't do what Jesus did? Had somebody, he came to me and he said, well, I just feel the Holy Spirit's leading me to this church. And I said, do you have a replacement? No. Then your job isn't done. No, I'm not repeating the same person. This is another person. I've heard this so many times. I could give you name after name after name after name after name of 33 years of ministry. I've heard it all the time, but yet, if you cannot establish something that will go beyond you, then have you actually established anything? And if you haven't established anything, then why would anybody want to hire you? I hired a man one time. What a horrible mistake that was. You know what was interesting? The man was a gifted singer. He had worked at a Bible college as a professor in music. He was older. Played amazing keys. I just sat back and I said, this is the dude. Hired him in. Then I realized I handed him three teams of worshipers, three different teams. We had a team that was a little bit more country. We had a team that was a little bit more progressive. And we had a team that was a little bit more island. Different flavors. I loved it. I loved they had four different flavors. Every Sunday morning, it was a different flavor of presentation of worship. I handed it to him, and I said, I want you to make them greater. I figured he could do that. What I didn't pay attention to was, as he was in his 40s, he had never built anything that lasted. Within 3 years, I had not even one whole team. He destroyed them all. He took all the leaders and got them to follow him, yet he didn't even live in the state. He caused such a ruckus that it was nothing that went beyond him, but it died with him. The gifts didn't matter. The mindset destroyed. Goes to another church. I got a call a few years later. It was a family church. And he was part of the family. They handed him the church. I got a call, like I said, a few years later from the sister-in-law saying to me, I wish I'd have called you. He's destroyed the church. There's no one left. And now he's gone too. It takes a special gift to destroy the kingdom of God. But the way you destroy it is because you never think beyond yourself. His entire life, he's in his late 40s now, maybe early 50s. He's never built anything that's lasted. So this team of team things is not a joke. It literally is your legacy. Excuse me. Miles Monroe made a statement that I thought was so powerful, and it resounds in my heart all the time. If you need a headstone for people to remember where you were buried, you are a bad leader. Your legacy should live on in people. Your life should live on for generations in people. And that is because we did what Christ did. We built team of teams, duplicated ourselves to where the success that we have goes generations beyond where we are, and not in failure, but success. And I'm going to end there for today. Trying to keep these about 30 minutes. We'll pick up next week right where we just left off on building team of teams, the culture of. But today, the more important thing is not that we even go there. The more important thing is you. Do you have a low self-esteem? I'll give you some questions you can ask yourself. Are you afraid someone's going to replace you? Do you hang on to your job so tight that you don't let anybody near you that you think could replace you? Number three, if there was a hole from your loss today, so if you died today or left today, would the ministry continue or fold? Then ask yourself, why have I not built a team if that is true? I would appreciate, and this is your homework. I haven't done homework in a long time. Remember, the penalty for not doing your homework is $25. My PayPal account is pastorspencer@gmail.com. I do take cash. I do not take checks. I also do, what do they call that? Cash App, Pastor Spencer, capital PASTORSPENCR is my Cash App. So I just know this. I would like you to send these to me, and you can send them to PastorSpencer@iCloud.com. I want your answers. And I want you to be genuine, and I want you to be honest. Because if you're not genuine and honest that you have a low self-esteem, then you'll never fix it. And if you don't fix it, then you've doomed your destiny. How can you say that so strongly? It's simple, because it dies with you. And if it dies with you, it never really lived. Because if a child dies when the parents die, then the generations die. Therefore, there is nothing that goes beyond. Write this down. I will pray starting today for God to send me my replacement. And I will be faithful to train them to succeed. What's that? That's a good one, huh? Does anybody have any questions? Actually, we can't take questions while we're online. Thank you so much for watching Empowering Pastors. We appreciate you taking the time to tune in. Make sure you're here next week. We're going to be going into week two of Team of Teams, Generational Leadership. You don't want to miss it. You can also go to our website, empoweringpastors.com, as well as Empower Summit will be in the month of March this year. And we are finalizing the speakers, and I think that you're going to be very pleased with them. And you will be able to be developed, encouraged. And the theme this year is generational leadership. Thank you so much for watching.